I don't know if I deserve to feel any better.
Episode of Anger Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion. I'm your host, Amanda Starling, here to talk to you about all things intersectional feminism, DIY, and of course the music. I hope you're all doing well, staying safe and healthy. Welcome to the last episode of 2020, the longest and most wild year that I'm sure many of us have lived through. But we did it. We made it this far, and we'll only keep going further. That's what I keep telling myself. That's the mantra at this point. I'm really amazed by all the folks, everything they've accomplished this year, personally, musically, in a time that has really tried every single one of us. I try to focus on hope and the things that get me through from day to day, and I have to say, you all and this podcast have been a huge part of that, so thank you. Alas, it's now time for a little hibernation for me. I'm going to be taking about a month off or so just to relax, go back and listen to some of my favorite albums that arrived this year, and just be. I highly recommend that you check out Barty Strange, Rat Boys, Erica Freeze, Oceanator, Bakai, Namdi, Gil, Alright, and there are just dozens upon dozens more incredible artists who have released music, such important music this year. Please continue to support your favorites through the holidays, and if you celebrate something this time of year, consider art and music as gifts to share with those you love. There's something out there for everyone, and we gotta support artists the way that we support our small businesses. So, highly recommend that. Take care of each other. Okay, speaking of sharing in love, I am so stoked to share this week's guest with you. Maggie Gently is a brilliant songwriter based out of San Francisco who really draws from so many styles of indie rock and emo and pop for her music. She released Good Cry, and it really encompasses this incredible journey and her search for answers and knowing what's ahead. It's fantastic to listen to. Maggie joined this week to share how she wrote the EP, her new song Bitter Pills, which you'll hear next as a new premiere, her goals as an artist, and so much more. So now let's hear Bitter Pills by Maggie Gently, and then hear from Maggie herself.
I feel like I swallowed my bitter pills dry. Now I'm Googling, how do I get rid of this slime?
Welcome, Maggie, to Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion. How are things going?
Thanks so much for having me. Things are going pretty good, surviving over here.
You're in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. So it's starting to sort of feel like winter here a little bit, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I'll bet, because you get to actually have a little bit more of seasons over in San Francisco. I'm in Florida, so we get a small, very brief cold front next week, and that's it.
Okay, enjoy it while it lasts.
Basically, it's like I can wear a sweater for a day.
Your one sweater that you have.
Pretty much. No, I'm one of those weird people. I have an obscene amount of sweaters and jackets considering I'm in Florida. That just means I have to travel.
There you go. Maybe someday.
Exactly. San Francisco is on my list for sure.
It's a great place. I've been living here for 6.5 years now, and I'm a little bit too into it now.
Definitely have made it your home. Where are you originally from, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts, and then I moved here from a few years that I spent in Philadelphia. So I'm very far from my family now, but I do really love living here.
Wow, that's an amazing move to make too. Was it just because you were just drawn to San Francisco, or what brought you out there?
My partner had a job offer here, and I was, you know, just out of college and feeling adventurous. And I was like, sure, I'll move across the country. And then I just got stuck here because I like it too much.
That's amazing. Well, what a great opportunity to kind of settle into this really awesome city.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love it. Well, let's start getting into it. I'm kind of curious here. Tell me about how you first began to play music and kind of how you started to find your voice as an artist.
Yeah, so I always really loved singing. And I started playing guitar when I was a teenager. So I had, you know, bands in high school. I was in a band with my brother all through high school, and I played music with people all through college too. And I did all kinds of different music when I was in high school. I had more of like an indie rock vibe. And then in college, I started doing a little bit more singer-songwritery stuff. And then my first band out here in San Francisco, the Total Bettys, was like a pop punk band. So I was kind of figuring out what I liked and what I wanted to write. And I still love I love listening to emo and pop punk music. And now my sound now, I think, is kind of a mixture of that singer-songwritery and the indie rock that I liked growing up, with some emo influence as well. I think it's just a part of who I am now. So I can't deny that.
I love that. And I feel like with what you're writing now, it's such a really well done blend of so many different types of music. I couldn't even begin to describe what you're doing there other than it being Maggie Gently.
Thank you.
Yeah. Some of the influences that you've had, who did you listen to as you're starting to kind of figure out what sound you wanted for yourself?
Yeah. So my favorite band is Tancred, and I listen to her music a lot. And I always kind of wanted to bring in that kind of, like, I think that her music just has like a cool factor that I can't really put my finger on. It's like witchy and dark and just like sends a shiver down my spine. I love it so much. And then I was also listening to tons of Snail Mail and La 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 La, and I love Rosie Tucker. And I think all of those kinds of, like, they're taking like indie music and like rock music and just like making it really weird and cool. And that was something that really inspired me while I was writing my EP.
I love that. And I feel like all the artists that you just listed off are all people I could totally see you like on a bill with, honestly, like
in my dreams.
Honestly, it seems totally feasible to me. Whenever I imagine like the likes of like a Tancred or a Rosie Tucker, you would fit in so well performing alongside those types of artists.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, because they're both just so unique. And I feel like you're kind of putting your own spin on so many different types of music and really just focusing on like, this is what sounds good to me. This is what works for me. And whenever artists do that, I feel like the music just becomes that much more powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did Maggie Gently end up starting? What motivated you to start this project for yourself?
Yeah, so I was writing music all throughout my time in San Francisco. I was writing music for the Total Bettys, and we broke up in early 2019. And at the time that we had broken up, I had a couple of songs in my pocket that didn't really feel like Total Betty's songs. They were things that I was writing that was kind of, they weren't like upbeat enough, I thought, to really fit with that band. And they were kind of a little bit more personal. And I decided to start a new project that would kind of just be really honest and really just about my experiences and my life. And, you know, it was kind of like writing in my diary, going back and listening to these songs, especially that I wrote right in the beginning of 2019. So yeah, from there, I just started playing solo for a while. I played shows just me. And that was really fun and challenging after playing with a band for so long. You know, when you're playing a show solo and someone's talking, you can hear them talking with mm-hmm. a full band with drums and stuff. It's like no one can speak over you. And that's what I love about playing with a full band. It's like you're commanding people's attention. But when I'm playing by myself, it's like I feel like I'm really at the mercy of everyone who's listening. Mm-hmm. But so I really loved doing that for a while. And then I ended up playing with some musicians, playing this new music with a full band as well. So that was also really fun, but kind of started really slow, really gradual.
That's amazing that you've been able to kind of go from something that was more so exclusively you performing to kind of starting to bringing in others here to really shape your sound and help it develop. How'd you kind of pick who you wanted to work with as far as for like the more fuller sound?
Yeah, so I was playing solo and then I decided to record this EP, just the few first songs that I had written. Mm-hmm. So I went into the studio with Grace Coleman, who has been recording the Total Bettys for a long time, and I trust her and love her. And Eva Treadway came in as my producer, and they suggested that I work with Sinclair Riley to play bass on the album. So I had never like heard the songs with bass before I decided to record them. And then Sinclair came in and was just so great. And I love working with her and I love the parts she was writing. So she's my like live bassist as well. And I really love working with her. And then Laura Labasco is a friend of mine who has been the drummer for the live band. It feels so bittersweet talking about that now because I haven't played with them in so long. I haven't even seen them in ages. So yeah. It's very sad, but it's been really fun playing live with them all. And I really do miss it.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, I mean, 2020 seemed like it was going to be such a big year for so many folks to be able to like perform and share new music and stuff. So it's been quite a time for you to have to adapt to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's great you were able to kind of work with these really awesome musicians to like put together your EP and kind of start to take it to that next level, add those elements that you hadn't originally even put in there, like the bass and stuff. What did it feel like mm-hmm. to kind of have others kind of start to help you flesh out what you've probably had sitting in your head for a bit?
Yeah, it's something that I was really unsure about it when I first went into the studio. Like these songs were so personal. It felt like on one level, I really missed having a band and having people to talk about and bounce ideas off of. And then on the other hand, I was like, these are just so mine. I felt such ownership over them that it was like kind of scary to give up a little bit of control. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, I think that there's just something beautiful about collaborating with really talented people who can communicate with me and kind of see what I'm imagining and then just bring it to life. So I would also be remiss if I didn't mention my brother, Joey, who played drums on the EP, and he doesn't live in San Francisco, so he can't be in my live band, sorry. But it was so fun being able to play with him again. We hadn't played together since high school, and he's a very talented drummer in his own right. So it was really fun to work with him as well.
That's a nice, like, very personal touch to have, like, your brother contribute to everything too.
Yeah, and it's also, it just brings a totally different energy into the studio. It's like I'd been working on these songs in isolation, right, by myself for so long, and then all of a sudden it was like a family affair. I was working with people who I loved, who I'd worked with before, who, you know, this music it wasn't something that they were familiar with, but it felt very comfortable. And being a solo act isn't as lonely as I thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause at that point it's like, you are bringing in like family and friends and stuff that kind of like help you really take it to that next level. So that's so amazing. If you don't mind kind of walking back for a second here, tell me about your songwriting process. What was it like for you to kind of piece together these newer songs, especially for the EP?
Yeah, so it was, the EP was kind of just like a, it was a real like moment in time kind of EP. I wrote all the songs really in the same like span of a couple of months. So they all feel really honest to that moment in my life and what I was going through in that moment. Most of them are about this friendship breakup that was very painful. And I think those moments, you know, songwriting is just something that helps me deal with that and think through what I'm feeling. And, you know, it felt like writing in a diary or going to therapy. It was just like, it felt so right to be able to encapsulate those feelings in that moment. Mm-hmm. Another part of my process is this meditation series. I don't know if I should call it meditation. They're like 5-minute creativity guided questions that this woman, Meg Hayertz, guides on YouTube. And it's called, her website's called Creative Momentum, and they're all based on tarot cards. So for my EP, I think I got a lot of that like tarot card and like mystical aesthetics kind of floating around through all the songs I was writing, because first of all, the influence from these meditations, and then also in that moment in my life, I was like struggling to make a hard decision and I didn't know what to do. And I was just asking every like mystical means, like, what should I do? I didn't want to have to decide it on my own, you know? So I was like, my album art is a magic eight ball. I was like, just tell me what I should do, guide me. Cause I just like, it was too scary. So I thought that was a cool like thread that tied the songs in my EP together.
That's so incredible. And I think knowing that that's what you were kind of thinking and feeling and going through in that time period, I feel like that in many ways explains how I feel connected to it, because I've had a lot of those feelings over like the last like year or so. And so to kind of like go through those processes and trying and ways of thinking and how you kind of bring yourself toward action and stuff and the different ways that you do that to kind of like process and accept whatever it is you're about to do. Mm-hmm. That was so meaningful for me to hear in music. So I'm glad that you were able to get what you needed from it to be able to kind of have that processing and ability to kind of like have that therapeutic experience, because it definitely translates for people like me as the listener.
Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. I mean, it was a tough time, and it's nice to have an outlet, especially now looking back on it. Mm-hmm. When you go through something hard, and maybe this is just me, but I tend to like twist the memory into being like, it wasn't as bad as I thought or whatever. But like having these songs, I'm like, no, I feel like I have a pretty clear picture of what it felt like to be in that moment, you know?
Yeah. It kind of grounds you, I'm sure. Cause it's like, yeah, this was what it's like. Yes, I was creative in kind of writing these songs, but it's like, it kind of captured those real feelings and those real experiences that you had, and kind of probably helps prevent from romanticizing some aspects of it too.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think, you know, other people's music does that for me too. When I mm-hmm. listen to, you know, a song that's to me feels like, oh, this song must have been written about me in this moment, and this is exactly what I'm going through and exactly what I'm feeling. Like, I think music has so much power in that way.
Absolutely. And what I really love is like, as much as you're kind of like searching for answers and trying to kind of like find that sign, whether it's like mystically or whatever throughout the music, I love that there are so many elements of you kind of indicating throughout this EP, like that moving forward with what you know and feel, like as you, it's like you're looking, but at the same time, it's like, you know what the answer is. And I feel like I can hear the shifts throughout the different songs of you kind of slowly moving closer in that direction throughout the EP. I thought that was really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to like trust my intuition and my instincts. And I think that's something that, like, you know, through this hard period in my life, I was starting to like really question my intuition and be like, do I really know what I'm talking about? And it took a lot of work and therapy to be like, okay, I can trust myself now. Like, you know, I can listen to that little voice.
Right. Well, it's amazing what you've accomplished for yourself. I'm sure personally doing that and being able to indicate that through your music too. That's just incredible to me.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I kind of want to dig into a couple songs off the EP. I really loved Normal. That was an incredible song. I love everything that you kind of say symbolically in it. The metaphors around like hunger and kind of like trying to figure out what's missing in that were just so brilliant from the beginning. Tell me about what that song kind of means to you and what it was like to put that one together.
Thank you. That is maybe my favorite song off the EP too. There's just something about, you know, I hadn't been playing slow songs forever, right? I hadn't performed a slow song in ages. And that was one of the first, maybe the first like slow song that I wrote in years. So it felt powerful to like allow myself to slow down, just like, you know, at its basic level to be like, I'm going to sing this slowly and take my time with these feelings. And I think that there was some aspect of, you know, coming out on the other side of this breakup where I was, you know, kind of using this as a mantra for myself that it'll be normal. In a little while, it'll feel normal. This will be my normal life, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I hate waiting. I'm super impatient. And I kind of had to keep on actively reminding myself, you need to wait. You need to give this time. You'll feel better with time. Just, you know, let it take the time that it needs. So that was kind of me trying to remind myself of what I already know, but that's hard to remember sometimes.
I understand completely. My mom and I joke that it's genetic how both of us are like very impatient people. We always just want to see like the results of whatever is going on in life, or whether it's something that's like a process or anything. So it's like, I think that's probably part of the reason why I connected so much with this song is like whenever change is happening and stuff, it's like, you kind of have to learn to be patient with yourself as you're going through that and then kind of accept the outcome of like whatever new feelings that you have or whatever new experience you have. And like, I think that things like the kind of repetition of this will be normal, like that to me was very much a, oh, this is a good way to kind of like process. I feel like if I play that to myself more as I'm going through weird experiences in life, it'll make it that much easier to kind of like embrace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you. I think it was like, you know, this image pops up a lot in my life. It's like either I could make the change and then deal with how hard the repercussions are and then come out probably better and stronger, or I can just keep on doing what I'm doing and, you know, it's like the devil, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So this, I think a lot of the songs kind of have that same energy, but Normal is one that really, I think it represents like the healthiest version of myself, which is why I like it.
I love that. And that's really important to kind of like capture within not just yourself, but like within your music too, to kind of demonstrate that like, this is the healthy, this is the normal, this is the best version of me. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of what I want to put out. It gives you almost something to aspire to in your moments where you might feel a little bit weaker too. At least that's what it did for me, where I'm just kind of like, yeah, this is the momentum.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. I love that one for that reason for sure. And then I love Tranquility because it was definitely one of your more like upbeat, energetic songs. And I think it's so amazing because it's like, the subject of like Tranquility, when I just think about it as a name, it's like you kind of expect a different kind of vibe than what you get from the music itself. It's very upbeat and playful, whereas Tranquility, you think of like more of like that serene softness and stuff and that kind of like peace. But I like that it's like more so ends up being about kind of trying to like find that and trying to kind of identify what that means for you and what you have to do to reach that kind of feeling. It's an aspiration.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like I was writing that song about, you know, in order to sometimes get what you need, you have to dismantle the things that you already have. And that mm-hmm. is a very difficult thing to come to terms with. And then I was thinking about it a lot also, like, you know, with the recent Black Lives Matter protests. And I was just thinking about like, you know, how easy it is for me as a white person to just feel so complacent and it's easy to just, you know, stay quiet, mm-hmm. but you know, I'm not going to get the tranquility that I need and that my community needs if we don't, you know, be the loudest thing around, right? Like that's part of the price you need to pay to get the things that really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause if you're just silent or you don't do anything actively to change your circumstances or the circumstances of your community, it's not going to change. You're going to be kind of stuck with those like dark clouds around you, kind of like what you're describing throughout the song. Yeah, and it's exactly. like, you know, it's not going to do you any good to really hide from it. You're better off just embracing it and like going through that moment of struggle, because that's the only way to like get what you need. Like, I love the whole part of like, if I want tranquility, I have to be the loudest thing around. If I want stability, I have to burn this motherfucker down. I was just like, yes. And it's so hard to reach that point in your life where it's like, you just embrace those thoughts. I know for me, it took me well into adulthood to figure out, oh, I have to do things if I want them to change. And especially for me individually, it's so much easier for me to see like things like a community and be like, oh yeah, I have to change for that. But like to identify that personally too, I feel like that's like a harder conversation to sometimes have with yourself.
It's true. And I mean, that's something that I wrote that song with that much like conviction at a time when, you know, I felt like I didn't have much to lose, you know, like it was easier for me to say that because I felt like, obviously it was about making a big sacrifice, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it was like the idea of rebuilding felt very exciting. And it's hard to get to that point where you're like, I'm going to start from nothing. And that feels great. So,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to get there.
There's like a certain level of confidence that you have to kind of reach for yourself where it's like, you know mm-hmm. what? Yeah. I'm fine with this being like a moment where I'm either going to have nothing or something's going to have to be different than what I've known this whole time or anything along those lines. Like that's like a special form of courage. And then to embrace that in itself is just like next level. I feel like we're almost getting like up the levels of like galaxy brain in a very good way. I was just kind of like, yes, yes, this is correct. I need this. So I found that so empowering and motivating throughout the entire song.
Thank you.
Yeah, everything about Good Cry as an EP just does so much. I feel like whatever it's that searching, I love that that's something that you just wove throughout the entire release, but also just everything that you kind of like conquer throughout. I know you mentioned earlier that Normal is like kind of your favorite, but is there another track on the record that you're just like, I love this so much, or this was important to me when I was making it?
Yeah, I think, you know, on a personal level, I can kind of trace where I was mm-hmm. in the process of this breakup as, you know, each song was written. Mm-hmm. And Alive is one that I wrote before the breakup. Mm-hmm. And that song to me is, I think that one feels like it has another level of honesty because it really hits me in that moment where I didn't know. I hadn't made a decision, right? Like I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was worried that I wouldn't come out of it alive. Like that is just such a traumatic, dramatic thing to think like, will I die if I make this hard choice? And it's like, okay, no, obviously you won't die. But it was just such like it was so scary. And I like look back at myself, you know, writing that song and I have a lot of compassion for her. So that song I also really love.
Right. I love that. And I think that, you know, it's not maybe a literal life or death, but it's like whenever you go through those kinds of experiences, though, there is a part of you that, you know, changes in a way that may not ever be the same again. So it is in a way a death of like a part of you. So I took that as something that was so meaningful and alive for that reason.
Yeah, thank you. It's funny to listen back on it now and sometimes be like, what was I thinking? Like, obviously, I'll be okay. But, you know, it's hard to know that.
Right. When you're going through those kind of moments, you literally don't know until you're on the other side. And I think that's why I always find it courageous when people are willing to make those kind of moves for themselves, because it's like, you don't realize that it's going to be okay when you get to the other side. But then when you're there, it's like, oh, okay. It is fine. This is fine.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I love that you just continued to do this with all of your music though. I really love Bitter Pills for that reason. For everybody listening, you're hearing a sneak preview of this song at the end of the episode. So it's really exciting. Bitter Pills comes out for everybody on December 9th, but you get to hear it now, which is really exciting. So Maggie, tell me about Bitter Pills. What was it like for you to put this one together?
Yeah, so Bitter Pills and my other single, Where My Time Went, that came out in October. Both mm-hmm. of those are kind of like B-sides from my sessions writing Good Cry. So they were all written around the same time. If Normal was me at my healthiest, then I would say Bitter Pills is me at my unhealthiest. It's like the polar opposite of Normal. It's just like a series of questions about like, mm-hmm. did I make the right decision? Am I, you know, it's a song about just feeling all the anxiety and letting myself just kind of imagine every worst case scenario and kind of just getting it all out there into one song. So it's kind of a picture of like, once you start questioning all that, then at least for me, it's like my own identity comes into question. And this is something like when I first started therapy, I really care a lot about the Enneagram. It's just like a personality test kind of thing that really matters to me. And I'm an Enneagram type 7. And I remember back when I first started therapy, I was having like an identity crisis because I felt like I was behaving so unlike myself, or I was just like so distanced from the version of myself that I knew, that I was like, maybe I'm wrong about what Enneagram type I am. And it just sent me into this spiral. So I think this song is kind of like, you know, it kind of puts that identity crisis into a different kind of perspective.
That's so interesting to me. Cause like, I feel like sometimes when you're in those moments of like struggle or uncertainty, you kind of get to know another part of yourself that you didn't know before. Cause I know for me, it's like, I hate how well I know anxiety, Amanda, and anxious Amanda. I'm just like, and sometimes I have to get to know the other versions of self where it's like, oh yeah, this is like the really chill version, or like the, you know, or when you go through any kind of experience, you kind of start to see like, oh yeah, there are different like aspects of yourself that you didn't get to know until you're in that moment of struggle. And that fascinates me so much.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm okay with having a lot of questions. And I think the song, you know, it really is just like question after question after question. Like, did I ignore the signs? Was I hoping things would all end up all right? Was I joking and wasting time while things were toppling down? It's like, I just wonder if I am doing the right things or if I'm doing the best that I can. And, you know, I think that if it's coming from a healthy place, it's okay to ask those questions. You know, if you can answer them with, you know, a healthy brain, but if you have an unhealthy brain, then it's hard to answer those without being like, yes, I blew it. I messed up. I'm a bad person. So this is like it depends on what headspace you're in to be able to answer these questions. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anything, it's like, you almost have to come at those questions with like a little bit of love and understanding for yourself. Like the almost immediate self-admission of like, I'm human. It's okay that I'm not making like every perfect decision, or like, you know, if I'm not feeling great today, that's fine. Or if I feel weird about this decision today, that's okay. Let me feel that today and let me see how I feel tomorrow, and just kind of like walk through those questions. And I found them all super meaningful. I particularly love the part of like, is this clarity or am I half asleep? If my life was burning, what would I keep? And I'm just kind of like, those are the kinds of questions that I find myself asking very often, particularly the latter of, if my life was burning, what would I keep? Like, what do you hold on to whenever everything is like challenging you? And I found that so interesting to kind of like parse through on a personal level. And the fact that it made me think was just really meaningful to me as like somebody who's listening to it, you know?
That's awesome. Thank you.
I love it. So what do you have like a favorite part of like that song or something that really means something to you in particular? Or
I think that this song I wrote while I was listening to a lot of Rosie Tucker in particular. And I was just like really feeling, I mean, I think that they are in a whole other league in terms of songwriting. And I was just trying to maybe grasp at a little bit of that like weirdness and creativity. And I always kind of think that I'm like maybe paying homage to them or something when I when I perform this song. And so I'm a big fan, if that's not clear. So I think that musically it's one that I really love. I love, you know, how it feels to listen to it. Also, since it's kind of like newish, I haven't listened to it as much as the songs on Good Cry. So it's exciting for me to like, you know, revisit it now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm coming out with like a lyric video as well, mm-hmm. which is really fun. My partner helped me kind of film it. I was planning to work with a filmmaker who I love, but because of COVID, I became a filmmaker. So it's kind of a fun process starting from scratch a little bit. So yeah, I really like it.
I love that. It's a really well done lyric video for sure. I won't spoil anything for everybody listening because I got at least to leave some surprise for everybody whenever your single drops. And I love the way it's shot. I love the way that everything is displayed. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting for everybody for sure. Be sure to watch that video. It's really, I like everything about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious, what's something you want your listeners to maybe get out of your music? Maybe the EP you've dropped this year, as well as kind of your B-sides.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think that I created this project to be a really like honest representation of myself. And I think that hopefully that means that people who are going through something similar can see a little bit of truth in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, I want it to be clear that like, you know, I'm not a perfect person and I have, you know, things in my past that challenged me and that I had to really like struggle to overcome. And I don't think I did everything perfectly and with perfect grace. And I think these songs are a reflection of me just kind of struggling to get where I am. And I'm sure someday I'll look back on this period and say the same thing about myself now, but it's just kind of like meant to represent my growth and also to kind of like maybe open up a window for someone else who's going through something like that too.
I love that. Well, definitely did it for me. That's for sure. And I hope everybody who listens to your music definitely gets that kind of experience, especially the whole opening up the window for others, because it's really hard, I feel like, to kind of process that stuff without the help of music. I know for certain for me, any challenging moment in life, I feel like I can at least turn to music and just be like, okay, we got this kind of thing. Or like, it's almost like that subtle bit of guidance that just kind of pushes you in whatever direction you kind of need in that moment. And your music is definitely doing that.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, of course. So what's something that maybe you want people to know about you as Maggie Gently?
I think, I don't know, one of my favorite things about being a musician is playing shows. Which is very depressing because I cannot do that right now, but it's something that it was really weird to kind of like release this EP, which is the first music that I've ever released under as Maggie Gently, and not go on tour, and then, you know, keep on releasing music and not have any shows to play and not be able to meet people at shows. And it just feels like there's so much that I dream that this project can be, and it almost all revolves around going on tour and playing shows and meeting people and traveling around. And those kinds of things I hope will come soon. But mm-hmm. for now, it's interesting that this is just like a total, you know, it's very isolating. And I think that this kind of music maybe is I'm definitely going to always associate it with this time of just like spending a lot of time alone and doing a lot of thinking. And yeah, I think both that it is a representation maybe of myself at this time, and also that I want it to grow and I want to go to shows.
Hopefully with the vaccines on the way, we'll be that much closer to being able to have shows again. I know yours is going to be one on my list that I'm going to have to find a way to see you play at some point, because especially knowing that you have so much passion and love for performing, to me, that just makes it all the more exciting for whenever we do get to return to that.
Yeah, someday. I'll definitely come to Florida.
I like the sound of that. So I know we're kind of at the end of 2020 here, but like, what are some of your goals that you have for maybe the next year or so? What do you want to accomplish as a musician?
That's a good question. I think, you know, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen, you know, once venues start opening up again. I think it's going to be a really different landscape. A lot of places, a lot of beloved places, they're not going to, you know, be able to return after this, which is very sad. But I'm also excited to see what new kinds of communities will pop up, and what people are going to want to see and hear, and what kinds of communities we're all going to want to be a part of. So that's something exciting. I recently just joined on with the Lost and Found touring group. So I'm really excited to be a part of their roster and start playing shows again eventually with the help of them, which is really great. And yeah, I definitely am working on some new music for 2021. So you can keep your ears out for that.
Yes, that's exciting. That makes me really happy to hear, because with what you've accomplished in 2020 is just brilliant. I can't wait to see what you're able to do once, you know, we don't have the COVID holding us all back, you know.
Oh, totally. I'm excited to see what other musicians do too. I mean, I bet you there's going to be a lot of cool, like, young girls who learned how to play guitar in quarantine and are going to be like coming out with ripping albums in 2021. That's what I'm excited for.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. I'm sending all the vibes that this ends up happening as a result. Like, some people have had the ability to kind of take that time to just like hone new skills. And if we end up with like that much more, just like not dudes out there doing it, I would be the best. One question I always like to ask kind of toward the end of our chat is, if you could play a show with any three bands or artists, they can be currently active or you can bring them back from the dead, who do you want to play with?
Oh, that's such a hard question. Well, definitely Tancred would be one, because yeah, I love her so much and would love to meet her. I'd also like to play with Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. How about Meet Me at the Altar?
Ooh, yes. Yes. They're one of
rock.
One of my goals for people to get on the podcast at some point for sure. Yes.
I hope you do. I would so tune in.
That's going to be a goal for 2021. See if I can get them on. That would be amazing. yeah, they're brilliant. Honestly. I love all of your picks truly for this. And I feel like so many of them are attainable for you. I think I could totally see you being able to play with like Meet Me at the Altar or Tancred,
especially Taylor someday.
Taylor would be fantastic. Honestly, I would just be so stoked. And like, Taylor's starting to dive back into that like more indie side of music anyway, so you never know. I kind of hope she gets into the mode of like, let me help pick up some more artists and like help people grow in their careers, like the way that I know Halsey's been doing a lot of that this year. And mm-hmm. It seems to be like the move for a lot of women in like pop music. So fingers crossed Taylor starts doing that, and it'd be sick if she picked you up too.
All right. Well, we can dream.
Right. Well, we send the vibe and it happens at some point.
Totally. Sending in an intention now.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me, Maggie. Where can everybody keep up with you on the internet and find all your music?
For sure. So I'm on pretty much all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music. And you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook at Maggie Gently.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Maggie. This has been awesome.
Thank you, Amanda.
scratch. I meant to add sugar. Now I've gotta make a fresh batch. I used to have so much, but now I've got none, and I'm hungry.
To Maggie for hanging out this week, and to Jamie of No Earbuds for hooking us up with the first listen of Bitter Pills. The single itself drops for real tomorrow. Be sure to stream and support Maggie's music and follow on social media. She's fantastic. That's it for this week, but you can always keep up with Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion online. Find episodes, links, articles, and more at angrygirlmusic.com. Get in touch with me through email at angrygirlmusic@gmail.com or on Twitter and Instagram at angrygirlmusic. If you're interested in being a guest on the pod, reach out and let's chat about what you're working on. I promise I'll get back to you in the new year so we can kick off 2021 with your awesome work and everything you're doing. Pledge your support for Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion on Patreon at patreon.com/angrygirlmusic. Special thanks to our monthly patrons Molly O'Malley, Kendra Mula, Carly Commando, John Kitsy Kitz Miller, Sam Zarowitz, Orla Tinsey, and Erica Fries. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, stay angry and stay safe. Hope you all have a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. I'll still be on social media, so hit me up if you need me or just have something cool to share. Hope you all do well. Bye for now.
Check my breathing. I know that I'm okay without you.
least I know the truth about you. Quick as lightning, because you kept on asking me to. I consider